about some of the benefits that a person can experience in his life. As he stops focusing on the problem, starts focusing on the solution, mm-hmm. stops focusing on what's going on outside in the world, maybe what he perceives as to be mistakes mm-hmm. or wrong things influencing him, and starts looking inside. What are some of the kinds of experiences that he'll start noticing in his life?
I think the first thing that you'll see a dramatic change in is the amount of time that you have left over when you give up all of the negative kind of emotions. How much more fulfilling and gratifying your life becomes. We'll start with your own physical health. 10 years ago, I weighed 30 pounds more than I do now. I wasn't exercising. I was not watching my nutrition. I was a candidate for a heart attack. I was not practicing good physical health principles. Now, I never really made a conscious decision to say, all right, I'm going on a diet. All right, I'm going to start exercising. I'm going to watch the sugar, and I'm going to get the salt out of my diet. And I'm not going to have caffeine in my diet, and I'm not going to have poisons in my system. I never did that. Those become natural outgrowths of self-love. The non-self-serving kind of self-love, the kind of self-love that is like having a quiet love affair with yourself, where you don't have to tell anybody. It's not necessary. It's just a given. It just is. You begin to see dramatic changes. I started running 10 years ago, and once I got myself into shape, I ran a minimum of 8 miles every day. And I got into a streak, and it's almost 9 years now, of continuous, every day, never missing a day of running. And at this point, exercising and being trim is just what I am. I am trimness. I'm not trying to get there. When I gave up caffeine, I stopped looking for the method to give it up and became the treatment and no longer was the poison. What I'm really saying is that that is not me anymore, and you don't have to go through any pain and suffering in order to get there. It automatically becomes a response that your body, when you start conditioning, when you put lots of water in your body and flush it out and keep it clean, that comes from a premise of self-love and some of these principles that I talked about earlier. For example, I used to love a nice greasy cheeseburger, the kind with the shiny buns, you know, grease had come up on it, and lots of French fries, and the kind where you could squeeze it and, you know, you get some grease down in the plate, you know, and then dunk the bread in that. I used to eat like that. Now, I never said, all right, I'm going to stop doing that. I'm not doing that anymore because that's not bad for me. I don't want cholesterol or anything like that. You are not the poison. You are now the treatment. And these changes that take place are so dramatically wonderful. I mean, I can give you some specific things in my life that I do now that 5 years ago, I would have thought you were crazy. I won't drive to the store. Not because I want to save gas or because I don't like driving. I love driving. I have a beautiful car and all that. I don't even think about it. I walk to the store. I walk almost everywhere I go. It has become a lifestyle with me. It seems so silly to me to fire up 4,000 pounds of steel to go get a 39-cent loaf of bread or whatever it is when it's so wonderful to walk or to jog down there. And so I find myself, in addition to my running, walking 4 or 5 miles in a day, using that time creatively. All right, I walk where I used to run or where I used to drive. When I'm in a restaurant, I used to always put salt on everything before I even tasted it. I just put a lot of salt on, a lot of it. I don't even ask if there's salt on the table anymore. And I never made a decision not to do it. It just doesn't feel right in my body. Red meat is something that rarely comes into my life. Now I consume 1/4 of the amount of food that I used to, and I have 4 times as much energy. I sleep much less than I used to, and I haven't consciously made any decision other than to use love as the principle for making my life work. All right? So when you ask about the benefits, the benefits in the physiological area are astounding, and they just seem to get a hold of you, and you begin to make intelligent choices or healthy choices that are good for the organism. They come about naturally when you start operating your life on this inner kind of glow that I'm talking about, this serenity. You see, I think that there's more to the universe than what the pragmatists would have us believe. I am open to everything being possible and operate from the premise that nobody knows enough to be a pessimist, right? None of us know enough. We know so little about the universe. I mean, I laugh in the newspapers. Just last week I saw a story about the quasars, you know, these stars that are out at the edge of the universe. And I said, what is this edge of the universe? I mean, what's there at this edge? Is there a wall there? Or is there a cliff? I mean, what is it? And how did it get there? And what's on the other side? We can't comprehend within ourselves something that has no beginning and no end, because all the things that we are limited to in this space that we occupy now start with beginnings and ends. Everything has a cause and an effect. Try to contemplate for a moment a world which has no cause and effect, in which everything just is, just the way it is. And one thing doesn't cause the other. It is, and it always has been. Try to think of eternity, when we talk about an eternity, as something that we can't comprehend because we're confined in the body that we occupy to only think in terms of when we began and when we end. Look at your body right now, and look at your fingers, and look at your arms, and all that, and remind yourself that who you are is not those things. That those fingers were very different when you were a month old. You still were. You still existed. You are not your fingers, or your bones, or your nose, or your ears, or your hair, or any of those things. Those things have all undergone dramatic shifts in your lifetime, however old you are, and yet your essence, whoever you are, continues. It goes on, and it continues to occupy many, many different bodies. This is not a case for reincarnation. It's not a case for anything. It is looking at the world from a perspective of awe and magnificence and openness to everything being possible. And that whatever it is that you call mysticism or metaphysics or whatever is nothing more than just the things that we have been limited to because we only understand what we're confined to. We can have anything for ourselves when we're open to that. And that love principle that I talked about earlier, from one cell to the next, is what many scientists are beginning to speculate on as the source of energy that makes us all work, right? And when we operate on that principle, as you look through all of the great teachings there have ever been, that one principle of self-acceptance, self-love, taking good care of yourself, all seems to permeate all of the teachings. That just seems to go back. That can't be an accident. There's got to be some truth to that. If you can accept that you are something other than just what your body is, even though it defines rationality and it defines scientific verification and all of that, you can accept that because we know that that's true. Bucky Fuller told us that 99% of what we are is untouchable, unsmellable, invisible. 99% of our essence. We can't get a hold of it, we can't smell it, we can't touch it, and we can't see it. It's whatever that conscious awareness is that we experience for whoever we are. And that conscious awareness that we carry around with us can bring about magnificent changes in our lives. The physiological changes I've alluded to, without trying to change anything dramatically in us, when we become more and more enlightened, if you will, and that's a wonderful thing to know. I want to close with this letter. It's from a lady who's become a friend. Her name is Chloe Robinson. And she wrote me this letter after I spoke at the Seattle Center 6 months ago. Dear Wayne, I have just returned from hearing you speak at the Seattle Center, and know I will not sleep a wink until I have written you a note to say thank you. I have anticipated hearing you ever since I purchased my ticket several weeks ago. I knew it would be wonderful, but it was even better than that. It was absolutely marvelous. In 1980, I left a marriage of 24 years with hardly anything more than my books and clothes. I had been taken care of and had no financial worries, and my husband and I were beginning to get into the mode where another few years and we would have been able to do just about anything our hearts desired, as we had just married off two daughters and our other two children were nearly grown. My leaving and the manner in which I did it, I moved to Hawaii, left everyone speechless, as I had always been such a devoted and unselfish person. Also, the fact that I left with virtually nothing and asked for nothing in the divorce, plus had never worked, reaffirmed the feelings of everyone that I had indeed lost my mind. I had turned 40 that year, and it was also speculated that this was probably partly to blame. In actuality, my soul just finally cried, "Uncle." This lady's a writer. These last 4 years have been absolutely wonderful. Sure, I've had pain and I've had to learn many things about life and people the hard way, but I wouldn't trade them. I have grown and learned and finally become the kind of person I want to be. My own. At times, the future has seemed scary, especially financially, but I know beyond a doubt that I'm on the right path. After a 2-year relationship with another wonderful person, I now believe that I am meant to go my path more or less by myself and not be tied to another person through a serious relationship, This does not make me unhappy or lonely. I now live each day almost hour by hour, live my life like the page of a book that is waiting for that day to write the story, and know that I am on the right track regardless of what the rest of the world thinks. I am an artist and a writer, and I know that the time is not too far away when I will be able to share some of my feelings and thoughts with others and perhaps bring some hope and encouragement into their lives. I want to say to other people, dare to risk. Dare to face the unknown. Because if you don't, you aren't really alive. I have read each of your books many times, and when I was given gifts from Icus for my birthday, I was thrilled. Little did I know what a truly beautiful gift it was for me. When I began reading it, I was puzzled, since this was so totally different from anything you had ever written before. I began the book about 10 o'clock one night, and I didn't stop reading it until I'd finished it. I cried through a great deal of it because it seemed to strike some chord in my soul that knew of the things which Ica spoke, but which I had never been able to express, mainly because most people wouldn't have understood it. I was so excited and felt so emotional when I finished it that even though it was nearly 3 a.m. and I had to work the next day, I reread it again. I never did sleep that night, and yet felt more alive and awake at work than times when I had slept the prescribed 8 hours. I have just finished Icus for the 7th time, and still get just as excited and emotional each time I read it. I've always been an avid reader, and the past 6 years have read tomes on Eastern religion and philosophy. But I can say without reservation, and I still don't know why this is, but Icus has had the most profound effect on me of any book I've ever read. It is more than the words or the story. It is as if it has awakened in my soul that which is true and has been from the beginning of time. I can't even explain how I feel. I've given countless copies of the books for gifts, and when it wasn't received from some with the same passionate emotion I felt when I read it, I was incensed. I felt as if I was casting pearls before swine. Don't ask me why this particular book evokes such feelings for me. I don't know. Now listen, this is the paragraph. I was amazed even talking to many people at the center tonight how few of them had read it, even though they were great fans of yours. I've come to believe, particularly this past year, that we are each on a path, and when we commit our lives to growth and becoming our own person, we get on such a fast track that it is almost frightening. I believe that a book like Gifts from Icus is one that until your consciousness is ready for it, it will not have an impact and just be passed off lightly or ignored. However, when a person is ready, look out. It is very powerful stuff. I know there will come a day when this book will be on the lips of everyone and will change the lives of many. It is more than a book. It is ancient truths that were finally given to someone to bring forth. You and Icus now have a great responsibility to the world because these truths are now for the world. I am cultivating a beautiful garden of my own, and even though it doesn't have orderly flower beds and it is made up of a potpourri of a little bit of everything, it is mine and it is wonderful. Thank you. Chloe Robinson. And I think there's something in that for each one of you. If you get on that track where you advance confidently in the direction of your own dreams, and you're willing to take the risks, and you're unconcerned about the past, and the future is just something that maybe you'll get and maybe you won't, and you visualize and image yourself being the kind of person you are, and above all else, you understand that your opinions are trivial. It's only your commitments that make a difference in the world. It's only your commitments. It's not what you think. It's what you do with what you think that makes a difference. I'm standing up here before you today when I could easily be someplace else because I remember the words of Gandhi when he was pulling out of his train station in India and someone passed him a little note. They were crowded around everywhere and they said, please just write something down for us as you leave. As he was pulling out of Calcutta. And he wrote down on a little piece of paper, when they asked him to write a message, he said, I am my message. The cosmic Aronia zone. If you solve this one, you'll have it all. There is no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. Thank you so much, and God bless you.